Hi, I'm Libby.
And I'm Riley, and welcome to On the Come Up. You know what I've been thinking about?
What, girl?
How much fun I had doing my first drag show last year.
Yeah.
It was such a blast.
You killed it.
I mean, obviously being able to embody David Bowie in a couple different looks was so fabulous. But the fact that it was for such a good cause and raising awareness not only for our drag community, but for a toy drive.
Yes.
Like, can you think of anything better?
It was so much fun.
It was so much fun.
You were just so great up there.
Oh my God, thanks. But honestly, the credit all goes to the mastermind of that operation, which was Dylan Cole, who is in the studio with us today. Hi, Dylan.
Hi, thanks for having me today.
Thanks for coming on here.
Yeah.
We're so excited to talk to you. We're going to do a little bit different. If you are listening regularly to our podcast, this show is a little bit different today. Instead of going through your life chronologically, we want to have a big discussion about some topics that are really important to all three of us here, which include the drag community, Toledo's queer scene, and then advocacy and how we can help in the community to raise more awareness. So just to give our listeners a little bit of background on you, talk about growing up in this area and just talk a little bit about your day job.
Yeah, so I am a Toledo native, born, corn-fed, and raised is what I like to say. I grew up in the Holland area and kind of stuck around Toledo and surrounding cities and communities of Toledo. Currently still live in Toledo and I work downtown at Fiber and Strand. I am a manager, an educator. I'm approaching 13 years in the hair industry, which
wow.
is wild to me. Yeah. But here we are thriving and doing some cool things now, so.
Yeah, no, it's amazing, all the stuff that you do. I mean, not that I definitely don't get my hair done with Dylan, no, for sure. Every time I walk out of the salon feeling so fresh, it's great. I love it.
It's a huge reason why I love what I do is because it's an avenue of connecting with people and making them feel really good when they leave. And, like, I get to just yap all day long, which is a 10 out of 10 for me.
Dream job.
So tell us a little bit then, getting into drag, tell us how you first, you know, discovered that and what inspired you to take that on and start performing.
Oh, gosh. I can remember one of the first times, like, practicing drag, and I was in the tiny little, like, two-bedroom apartment that me and my mom were living in at the time. I had just been casted in the musical Rent, which was kind of my introduction to the world of drag, and then through that, I just fell in love with it. It was such an expressive outlet that it brought so many people joy to see me explore that avenue. And I was like, oh, this is cute. So through that, I really got into watching RuPaul's Drag Race. I am a huge Drag Race fan. I think that to think back to like where that show originated from, almost 18 years ago to where it's at today. You know, it's really cool to see how drag has become such a mainstream topic for, like, we see drag queens at the VMAs, we see them at the Emmys, we see them all over Fashion Week, we see them in so many different avenues than we used to. And a lot of times, like, drag is what is setting the trends for mainstream fashion media. And I first entered the scene when I was 18 years old. And then at 18, I went to Brett's nightclub. I just remember seeing my first drag queen that was like, holy cow, this is different than what I've seen on Drag Race. This is different from what I saw in the theater setting. Like, this is electric. And that person that I saw was actually Deja Di Delatero. Mm-hmm. And to this day, I am a stand on her because
she is
just one of the most energetic performers we have in this city. Then, yeah, through there, I started performing about 10 years ago, and it's wild to even think of my own journey through 10 years, but I love it, so.
I love that so much. And I mean, it's so awesome to me, and I'm sure to you as well, that names like Deja or other people like that who inspired you, you're now up there in stature and ranking and all of this stuff in the community and the impact that you're having. And I can't even imagine how difficult it would be to choose a name, because the name is so much a part of your brand as a performer in the area. So talk a little bit about how you chose your name and what it means to you.
So I always remember when I was younger, and like, you'd see those memes on Twitter and stuff, and it was like, your drag name is like your first pet's name and the street you grew up on. If that was the case, my name would be Melanie Carrington. She sounds really classy.
She does. Yeah.
And that's not me. So I came up with my name because when I was first practicing my makeup, I was using a little cheap foundation, and I turned over the back and I said, Ivory. And I was like, I like that. That's strong, you yeah. know? And then through my last name, it has just kind of evolved over the years. I originally had a name that a group of friends of us had like come up with in high school, and it's going to be Fierce with a PH. But then through discovering myself and my roots in drag and what drag really means to me as a performer, that's where I came up with the connection to Foster, because of the icon on Broadway, Sutton Foster. So
absolutely.
I really connect with her energy on stage. So Ivory Foster was the choice.
And I feel like that's such a fitting combination of your love of theater and Broadway and all of that stuff, as well as your love of cosmetics and hair care and all of those things. I think that's super meaningful. It's awesome.
It's funny how it's evolved into this over the years, and it's so like, it's so me. Yeah. So.
And then for our listeners who haven't got the exciting chance to see you perform, describe your drag persona in three words.
Energetic, chaotic, camp.
Yes.
I love yeah. that.
That's perfect.
Camp.
And obviously you're in the unique position where when performers are performing, they do most of their own makeup or have some people help them with their makeup. But you have so many skills in beauty and hair and makeup design. So talk about what it's like for you to create your looks for different performances and what your process is for that.
It's really, I would say within the last couple of years, that's something I've taken a lot of pride in honing in on. Mm-hmm. Is I am very fortunate that I have an amazing partner who went to fashion school. And when we met about almost 8 years ago, like, their drag inspired me because it was so much more of what I was doing. And they really educated me on fashion, on different designers, like who were things that I connected with. And naturally, I became a pull to like the Westwood style because mm-hmm. it is a little chaotic energy, but still looks very clean. So nowadays, it's really cool because it's like when I design a look, I'm now all of a sudden thinking of all of the elements. Before it was like, oh, I'll just wear this hair with it and it'll be cute. And now I'm like, no, I need three layers of fabrics on this. This is the rhinestone. This is the silhouette. This is the style. Yeah, so I spend a lot of time keeping up with pop culture, actually, mm-hmm. as much as possible to see what's trending and what are people doing that I really sit with. And then that helps me to make it true to my style and to, like, my branding.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of all your performances, do you have one that really sticks out and really resonates with you or with the audience?
I think a really cool element is when I stepped into my own of singing live for a show.
Ooh, okay.
I was competing for a pageant, which ironically was 4 years ago to the date.
Oh, wow.
And I had pulled out singing a Miss Hannigan talent from Annie. And it was just this cute little, like, little girl's number into Easy Street. And two of my really good friends, like, we choreographed this thing. It was like, oh, it was a moment. And I will never forget the realization to the audience when they realized I was not lip syncing.
Wow.
And like the silence in the room that happened, that was my moment when it was like when I watched Deja perform and how she just gets the audience. I sat there and I was like, I've got you now.
I got chills right now.
It was cool. It was very cool. And then also for me as a theater performer and as a vocalist, it was just a very humbling moment to realize, like, I captured them like that. And, like, top three of my moments I can think of.
I love that.
Well, and it just makes me so happy too, because I know how passionate you are about theater and community theater and performance. And so being able to still do elements of that within your drag persona as well is so fabulous. I just think that's an amazing combination.
I love it because it's like when I don't have time to do a show, I always have drag.
Yes.
And, you know, doing a show is so great because of the community aspect. You're building something with a team of people mm-hmm. who become like family to you, but not all the time do I have the time to do that in my schedule. So drag is always right there for me.
I love that. The best of both worlds. So now we want to talk a little bit about the queer scene in Toledo. So tell me in your perspective what you think makes Toledo's queer scene unique.
I think it's unique because it is very small. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have a lot of queer venues to go and like come, you know, I think back to talking with legends in our community, like Sylvia Austin, you know, mm-hmm. and she often describes how like back in her time where she was at in this stage of her life where I'm at, you know, they didn't have the media to like get us connected with other queer people. We didn't have that representation in the mainstream. So you had to have representation where you went. Mm-hmm. And, you know, unfortunately, over time in Toledo, we have seen so many of our spaces disappear. But I will say that the spaces that we do have are very strong in what they mean to the community. So it's really cool to go to someplace and you see all three generations of what I would consider our community. You have our elders, the ones who paved the way before us. We have kind of the group of us that have been here for a while. And then you have like the newbies coming into the scene and you're like, oh, it's Dev Youth again, you know?
I love that.
And yeah, you're talking a little bit about these spaces. Are there any that you want to call out or, you know, that you think people should know more about?
As far as when it comes to like nightlife, Georgie's 419, they have really evolved into becoming such a staple spot in Toledo. You know, I can't think of a single person that loves to go out in Toledo and they don't think of Georgie's. But we also have really cool places that also offer a safe space for like individuals who don't drink necessarily, you know? So we have like Grinders Coffee Shop, whom it's just a lovely little queer cafe and they are just a very comfortable space. We have one of my favorite vintage stores that I love to shop at for some of my drag is House of Dao. Mm-hmm. And it's just when you go into a space and you just know like, oh, I don't have to be on edge right now.
Yeah.
Because I feel safe, you know.
I think that's really important. And I think we've done a good job of programming as well as starting to create more spaces like that and having events where you can go and not have to feel on edge the whole time. Like a lot of what you're talking about with George's, I've experienced with their parking lot parties or different like Love Fest and all things that go on in the queer scene event-wise. But I'm also curious how you have felt. You're talking about these elders who have paved the way before you and how there are more spaces and more events that are coming up. How has that scene, either drag or the queer scene in general, changed and shifted since your beginning?
Oh, gosh. Thinking back to about 10 years ago when I really started performing in drag, you know, it was we would always gather on every Sunday. There was an open stage night at Legends Nightclub. We would, you know, spend our days talking with other artists who were getting started in the scene and being like, oh, I'm going to do this. Oh, I'm going to do this. And it's interesting because we still very much have that. I know that Georgie's will do a big open stage like once a month. And I believe Hamburger Mary's was doing some open stage nights, but I don't see them as often as I do at Georgie's. The artists that are coming out now are so much more specific in what they know they are looking for. Whereas I feel like when I started, it was kind of like, ha, we're having fun. And, you know, this song just came out, so I'm going to be Iggy Azalea. And now it's just like the artists like come in and they're so put together so quickly that I'm like, no. You need like 2 years to sit in like the mush side of it before you come out of your chrysalis and like become a beautiful performer. So it's just very elevated now, you know, but I think that goes into what I was saying about drag over time has just become so well accessible. You know, we have a lot of accessibility to how you can see drag and how you can learn your makeup, how you can learn how to sew costumes, rhinestones and all that.
Yeah, definitely.
So as we've seen the queer community continue to grow and change and keep adding on, like you're saying, and accepting new people into those spaces, if someone queer is moving to Toledo, what advice would you give to them?
I would say to worry less about if we're looking specifically at someone who wants to like get started into the drag scene in Toledo, I would say don't worry so much about getting this online presence situated. Really go meet people. Mm. I am a firm believer of when we find ways to connect with people, that's what helps them feel very comfortable.
Yeah.
And when we make people feel comfortable, that is when we are opening ourselves up to really inclusivity in our mm-hmm. community. So I actually recently met a newer queen in our area, and she was telling me about – it was actually after Pride, and I was just like – sitting off in the corner doing my thing because I was like, this mug looks too good to waste it right now. And she kept looking at me, and then she came over to me. She was like, you have this energy to you right now. And I was like, well, like, I don't know what that means, but cool. And she was like, I'm actually new to the area, and I want to like know like who's like the better venue to get started with. I said, just keep going. You know, yeah. Once you keep going, your face is going to become normalized to someone who is a performer. You know, it might seem crazy sometimes, but we do recognize when we have like, you know, familiar faces constantly showing up. And then, you know, that's exciting for us because it's like something I'm doing is pulling you in to want to connect with us. And then find your ways to connect with people through your open stages. Don't come in like a diva because nobody likes the diva. You know, if you come in with an open mindset, then it's going to be well received, and we are gonna, you know, people will want to bring you in more than if you come in with like this wall closed off, because I've seen that happen where people will come in like, I'm the girl, and yeah.
Yeah, nobody likes that. That's always off-putting from the start. And we kind of talked about it at the beginning of the episode, but you have started within the queer community and within the drag community creating more spaces for advocacy and for people who might not normally be attending some of these performances or events to come out and give back to a good cause. So talk a little bit about what motivated you to start enacting your advocacy efforts within the queer community here?
A big thing that I've always said in drag is I don't want a platform if I'm not utilizing it. Mm. So for me, it doesn't matter how many followers I have on social media or, you know, if I'm giving the best dance routine or the most modern song, because I'm a mover and a shaker, not a dancer. So I started to realize, what could I do to really make a difference with this platform I'm building for myself? And as a very young child, I was actually on the receiving end of a lot of like helping programs. I am the product of an amazing woman who was a single mom, raising three kids on her own. And you're shaking your head.
I love that diva.
Becky,
I love
is
her.
The queen. And my mom was always very good about letting us know that we were where we were at. She was very raw and with us with like understanding the position in life we were, but also making sure that we understood it could be different, mm-hmm. as in worse. And it wasn't in a way of like, I'm doing all these things for you and it's going to be better. It was just allowing us to see the kindness of helping people, yeah. even when you necessarily don't have anything to give. You can give them your attention, mm-hmm. and you can give them your time. And that can make an impact on someone. So specifically when it comes to once a year, I do a really big toy drive. And with that toy drive, it has always been a goal of mine that if I can leave somebody feeling the way that I know that my mom felt and I felt being on the receiving end of it, you know, I could think of two Christmases that we had assistance, and like, I couldn't tell you what I got for Christmas that year. I know exactly how it made my mom feel. And that sticks with me, and that's why I continue to do it forward in the community and bring it, you know, even greater every year to come.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, talking about some of the larger challenges facing the Toledo community as a whole, but I'm also curious on your insight as far as challenges facing specifically the queer community in Toledo.
I think specifically when it comes to the queer community in Toledo, you know, as I had said, over the years, we've lost some of our spaces, mm-hmm. you know, that were really big staples in our community. So I think the biggest thing as we continue to work our way and navigate our way through this world of social media is that, yes, we can connect with people online, but there is no real connection like connecting with someone in person, you know. And even if you are someone who sees yourself as a queer individual or you see yourself as an ally to the community, you know, allies can learn so much more just by getting themselves connected with the appropriate people within the community to open their eyes more on things that they're not aware of. I know that there are a lot of really great programs that help with, like, younger teens and things who are going through situations who maybe weren't as fortunate as I was, where I had a very supportive parent in my life. I'm very blessed in that way, you know. And there's a couple of small groups through the Zeph Center that I know they work with young queers and youth individually who are going through similar things that maybe don't have as much of a support system behind them.
What are some things that you wish that people who are outside of the queer community understood more about either queer life in Toledo or just, you know, queer spaces in general?
I think the biggest thing is that it's, especially for myself as a performer's perspective, you know, I can always tell how someone's going to react when I tell them I'm a drag queen, you know, because they're really like, oh, no way. Or they're like, oh, and I'm like, okay, then you don't know what I'm doing, you know? Yeah. So I wish people just understood that if you have questions, like going somewhere and getting an understanding is like the quickest way to not make an assumption about something.
Right.
Because you're getting to the source, you know? I know for me, like I had said, connection is huge for me. So I love when I see someone, if I'm doing a show that's maybe not in a conventional queer space, and I connect with someone that I've never really seen in our community before, but I know that they're really vibing with what I'm doing. Nothing brings me more joy than getting to make sure to take the time and have a little conversation with them and just thank them for being there, making them feel safe in a queer space. Because mm-hmm. I think that's another huge thing is that allies or people who are confused about the community don't, you know, it's like me going to a sports bar. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get the wings, but like, I don't know about this. You know, it's as long as we can also help to make people feel safe in those spaces across the board, it helps to blur the line of people making assumptions and allowing us to really connect more as a whole. Because that's really what we need to be doing in life, yeah. is connecting and making people feel safe around you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. And obviously we're touching on some kind of heavier, big topics. And I'm wondering how you personally balance your activism with kind of the glamour and the glitz that comes along with drag.
I guess balance is a word that I don't like to use in my life, per se, because there isn't really a balance sometimes, you know? Like, my house is filled with rhinestones and costumes, and, like, you can literally open any drawer in our house, and you're like, oh, there's a drag item, you know? but it really is just a matter of, like, I have a really great support system. Through my day job, I am very well connected with people. So I feel very fortunate that through having a career that I'm able to just talk to people, you really get to connect with those people. And so it helps me even learn about avenues to being an advocate that I wasn't even aware of, you know? And sometimes I think people confuse advocacy for needing to be this huge person with this paragraph on paragraph on paragraph Facebook post. And that's not true. Mm-hmm. Advocacy, especially when you're advocating for the queer community, can start with a simple conversation with someone we've never met before, you know, because they don't know who you are. And when you connect and able to blur that line, then it makes it less scary for you.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's really lovely. And of course, we have to ask you a couple of fun questions.
Let's do
since it. You are such an incredible performer. We have our little rapid fire section. You ready?
Let's do it.
Okay. Lip sync or live vocals?
Live vocals.
I love that.
Glitter or rhinestones?
rhinestones because it's less messy.
Very fair.
And there's a story behind that.
Dream drag collab, either locally or someone who is famous.
Jinx Monsoon.
Oh, real.
She is my inspiration in life.
You did not miss a beat, babe. You said Jinx Monsoon. Mm-hmm. Favorite holiday to perform during?
Oh, Halloween.
Yeah.
Halloween.
Favorite performance spot?
Ooh. In front of a crowd.
Love it.
Love it.
Enough said.
I have to ask also a bonus question that we didn't write down, which is, if you had to choose between these two very mainstream pop culture drag moments, which would you choose? Either when RuPaul was on Jimmy Fallon and said, a drag queen, I'm the drag queen, or your dad just calls me Katya.
Well, RuPaul actually said, I am the queen of drag.
Oh, period. Yes, so... the queen of drag. I watched his face actually, like, turn ghostly white.
Terrifying.
Was like, what did I say? What did I do?
Terrifying.
It was hilarious. So that's your choice?
Yes.
Perf.
Finally, what is one thing that people would be shocked to know about you?
I am such a introvert sometimes. I think that people see me and you meet me and you think like, oh my gosh, that like hugest friend circle is probably like reality of it. I love being at home with my cats in my gardens. Like I, as much as I can just be like existing in a very neutral setting, that I guess is how I find my balance, is like I really just ground myself when I have to.
Yeah, for sure.
That's important.
It's definitely important. And we want to wrap up with just a couple of questions about, first, what do you hope people take away from our conversation today?
I think the biggest thing, and I've said it several times, is it's just connecting. You know, I wish sometimes people could always have a conversation with me about drag, because it's not scary. You know, I'm a human. I've got a 9-to-5 career and I'm just out here trying to do really cool things and like pay it forward for RuPaul specifically talks about a lot about like healing your inner child. And it's like that to me is what drag is it's given me a platform to be expressive without any fears of what people are thinking, and also to connect with that inner child of mine who, you know, specifically when it comes to like doing a toy drive every year, like that it's kind of my way of like wrapping a little blanket around young Dylan and being like, if you only know where you're gonna go one day.
Yeah. Oh, I love that so much.
Tell our listeners how they can both support your drag and advocacy.
I think the best way to support as far as advocacy goes is get involved with a local nonprofit. You know, we have so many great nonprofits, whether that's through the Zeff Center, whether that's through Equality Toledo or the Toledo Collective. I am huge on get involved, because it blurs that line again of, if you have questions about maybe you want to get involved but you just don't know how, like start making your appearances at places and you'll find the right group that settles with you. To support me, I mean, always come to my shows. It's, I feel very fortunate that in my life, I have a lot of great support. So it's like, when it comes to the question of asking like to support me, that becomes really hard because I'm like, gosh, I don't know how else I could get support. But I would just say by being present, you know, being present and not being afraid to have conversations.
Yeah, love I love it. And because our podcast is geared toward young professionals in the area, what is one piece of advice that you would give to young professionals listening?
If someone is not providing you an opportunity, create your own.
I love that. And you didn't think we would leave without a Roman Empire. I think we're going to have our guest kick it off for us today. Dylan, what can you not stop thinking about?
Every single morning when I wake up and I go to work, and if I just like needs a song that's going to like get my mood right, I listen to Down the Witch's Road from Agatha All Along.
Oh,
every single day.
I was just thinking about how I wanted to do a rewatch.
Every day.
It's perfect.
When I was thinking of my Roman Empire for today, one of them was actually the relationship between Aubrey Plaza and Catherine Hahn in that show, because my Lanta, they're so good. I love
them.
Ugh. Libby, what about you?
Also kind of spooky themed. I recently went to Halloweekends at Cedar Point, which I grew up in Sandusky, and that holds such a special place in my heart. And it was very fun. I had a great time, but I was really sad with the decor. It was giving very like millennial, like not very colorful, like kind of millennial gray Halloween decor. And it just didn't feel nostalgic, and it didn't hit the same as it has even in years past. So I just can't stop thinking about that. And even though that's kind of a bummer, but no, I'm very excited for Halloween. So that's like all that's on my mind.
Yeah, 100%.
On the positive side, 90s Halloween decor, like early 2000s Halloween decor. Yeah. That's what I'm always thinking about.
Yeah, definitely. I would have to say mine is that I just started watching Supernatural for the first time ever.
Ooh.
It is my girlfriend's favorite show. She's obsessed with it. She keeps begging me to watch it. So I finally watched it. I'm one season in to like a 16-season show.
Yeah, that's a
you're
long
in,
one.
You're like, in now.
Yeah, like 22 episodes a season, 40-minute episodes. There's a lot ahead of me.
Are you liking it?
Listen, I actually really love it. I watched the first episode feeling really skeptical, and then I think it's really cool because it's basically a crime show, but for supernatural beings, mm-hmm. which I never really knew the concept of it. I knew, obviously, there was something spooky going on there, but and that Jared Padalecki and Jensen Ackles were in it because both of them are fabulous. To me, but especially Jensen Ackles, shout out. But the show has been really cool so far. I like that they play a lot on not just the ghostly side, but they bring in a lot of research that they do into it and lore from different cultures. And then they really dive into their family dynamic, which is fascinating to me, except those two boys have such daddy issues. They need therapy. Please help them.
Well, when you consider who their father is.
Yeah, so fair. But yeah, more updates to come probably when I finish the show on how I feel about it.
A year from now.
Yeah, right. Well, Dylan, thank you so much for joining us today. Yes. We really appreciate your candid nature of conversation, and thank you so much for giving our listeners a way to support the community.
Thank you so much for having me and giving me the opportunity to speak and yab my mouth.
We want to thank Dylan Cole, our guest on today's episode. We're your hosts and producers, Libby and Riley, and our executive producer is the incomparable Chris Piper.
If you have any questions, comments, or you just want to listen again, go to wgte.org/comeup or wherever you stream your podcasts.
Bye, besties!
WGTE. Voices around us.